Good morning and welcome to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurovich. This fall, like most movie seasons, has a little something for everyone. We'll see Ben Affleck on the big screen and in the director's chair. We'll get Buried Alive with Ryan Reynolds, and we'll also get a little creeped out by Saw in 3D. And there's a few movies for kids as well, also in 3D, of course, and Harry Potter franchise will come to an end, almost. With me in the studio to help make your movie-going decisions a little easier is the other paper film critic, Hope Madden. Welcome, Hope.
Hi.
And also Brad Keefe. He's the web producer and a film critic for Columbus Alive. Hello.
Hi, Amy.
And another other paper film critic, George Wolfe. Welcome.
Thank you.
I feel outnumbered here.
Two other papers in Columbus Alive, yes.
It's competition's okay. Competition's
here. Well, let's start with a movie that's getting a lot of buzz. It opens today. It's called Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps. And in this scene, Gordon Gekko, who is played by Michael Douglas, gives some words of advice to Jake Moore, who is played by Shia LaBeouf.
What are you, some kind of energy freedom fighter?
No, Mr. Gekko, I'm in this game to make money like anybody else.
So what about money, Jake? You like her?
Do I like her? I've never thought about money as a sheep.
Oh, she lies there in bed at night with you, looking at you, one eye open. Money never sleeps. And she's jealous. And if you don't pay close attention, you wake up in the morning, she might be gone forever.
All right, this is a movie that has been getting a lot of press, a lot of attention, especially because of Michael Douglas and him battling cancer, even more press and more attention. I know that it did not screen in Columbus, so my panel right here has not seen it. But what are your expectations, George?
Well, the few reviews that have gotten out nationally haven't been that kind, so I guess that has influenced my expectations a little bit. Really looking back on the original Wall Street, very iconic role for Michael Douglas, obviously won an Oscar for it. The movie itself, at least to me, isn't that great. It's very timely to remake it now with all the Bernie Madoff things and things like that. So I can see why they do it now, but expectations aren't really that great for it, to be honest with you.
Brad, do you have any thoughts? Are you looking forward to seeing it?
Well, I mean, I'm a little disappointed that the early reviews are kind of negative because the cast is really interesting to me. I think LaBeouf is really talented. He has been since a kid. But Carey Mulligan was really what made this for me. I don't know if you guys will agree. I think she was deserving of the Oscar last year.
Totally agree.
No offense to Sandra Bullock.
Carey Mulligan was in an Education.
Carey Mulligan in Education was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And that pretty much piqued my interest in it. It's also interesting to me for Stone to be doing a sequel to a movie he did over 20 years ago. I don't know. I hope he doesn't have a JFK sequel in mind.
Well, it's kind of with the real timing of how long he would have been in jail. So it's right. That struck me as interesting.
Yeah, that coincided really with just current Wall Street issues, you know, that we're facing. And I agree with Brad that I actually think the cast for this sequel is considerably better than the cast for the original. You know, I'm going to take Carey Mulligan over Daryl Hannah any day. and also Josh Brolin. I love Josh Brolin in everything. But, I think Oliver Stone tends to be so melodramatic and over the top, and I just don't think that style of filmmaking is as popular now as it was in the 80s when everything was kind of over the top and, you know, overtly stylized. And I just, I think that there are so many other – well, just better options probably this weekend than that.
So would you think that because of Michael Douglas and just what he's going through and him being on the red carpet and, you know, that the big deal about that, people might just be intrigued to see Michael Douglas in action?
Sure. I think that's the nature of celebrity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. He's in the news for a sad, you know, reason right now, battling cancer. But, yeah, that's going to pique some interest, sure.
614-292-8513, or you can send an email to allsides@wosu.org. You can also post a comment or question at the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page if you'd like. We'd like to hear your thoughts on the movies coming out this weekend. Maybe there's something that's already out for the fall movie season that you'd like to talk about or ask our critics about. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Does anyone else want to add anything more about Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps? Are we good on that? I think that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's move on to a movie that topped the box office last weekend. It had more than $23 million. It's The Town. And in this scene, Claire, who's played by Rebecca Hall, describes her experience as a hostage to she describes her experience as a hostage to Doug, and Doug is played by Ben Affleck.
A few days ago, my bank was robbed. Four men took it over and opened the safe. They took me as a hostage. They blindfolded me and drove me around. And then they stopped and let me out.
Sorry.
It's not your fault. The FBI guy told me it would feel like I was in mourning.
FBI? You're working with the FBI?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any suspects, any clues, any leads, anything like that?
No, they told me. He intimated that they were scouring Charlestown, but they were wearing masks, so I'm sure I'd recognize their voices if I heard them again.
Well, it'd be harder than you think.
And that is a scene from the movie The Town, and George, I know that I'm pretty sure that you like this movie.
I did.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the continuing, you know, maturation of Ben Affleck after so many bad choices. This is his second, really. He directed Gone Baby Gone, mm-hmm. which was excellent. And, yeah, I enjoyed the movie. Well done, well paced, well acted. He's really put himself back up in the top of the list, I think. I enjoyed it. I didn't, for whatever reason, I don't like the title. I think they could have come up with a better title. I know that's nitpicking, but I did like the movie.
Well, you got to find something to nitpick about. Brad, what do you want to nitpick about?
Really nothing. It's okay. That's probably my pick for what the best thing you could do in the theaters this weekend again. Honestly, it was out last week. If you haven't seen it, you must. It's wildly entertaining. It's maybe not high art, but it is. The pacing is fantastic. It's got a sense of humor that I maybe wasn't expecting, and one of my favorite supporting roles in it, Jeremy Renner, mm-hmm. Oscar-nominated for The Hurt Locker. I think he was actually better in this.
Oh,
he's
wow.
Very good. He's very good, yeah.
Now, we're not giving anything away by saying that she was, in that scene we listened to, she was describing that she was a hostage to Doug, who is her boyfriend, right?
He's about to become her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. He is the person who took her hostage. He's
right.
Part of the bank robbing crew that took her. And, you know, he gets to know her as a way to find out what she might be, you know, planning to tell other people, what you might have gathered from her experience. And I think that one of the things that makes it so strong is the way it walks that line between him gathering information, like in the scene when he says, you know, it might be harder than you realize, when she says she would recognize her voice, and then him just actually, you know, creating a relationship with her that he's willing to risk secrets over. I mean, I just think it was really well done. I thought Rebecca Hall was great, as she always is. And I thought the whole film was really nicely understated. And I also, it seems to me that Ben Affleck is out to end tourism in Boston, period.
Well, yeah, the town that they're talking about is a little section of Boston.
Charlestown.
Okay,
yeah.
Where basically every bank robber lives, right?
They start the movie with statistics about how many bank robbers come out of that to kind of set the stage for that area, yeah.
Oh, and Pete Postlethwaite.
Oh, yeah,
of course. And for a cops and robbers movie, it's really kind of morally ambiguous.
It is, yeah.
I would say, in a lot of ways, John Hamm plays an FBI agent investigating the bank robberies. He's a bit of a villain in it, you know, despite what he's doing.
Yeah, certainly has a dark side, yeah.
So when you're sitting in the movie theater, are you cheering for Ben Affleck and his crew, or are you cheering for
exactly,
the cops?
No, not exactly, which is, I think, what makes it more interesting, is that they show, I think, you know, good and bad on for both groups. I thought John Hamm did a nice job kind of out of character.
He did. It's a little hard not to see Don Draper in him still.
I think, if anything, it does lead you to tend to root for the chance of the two as a couple.
Okay.
You know, if they have a future or not, you might be rooting for that. But as far as, like Brad said, morally ambiguous, you're not really pulled
into
that.
Is it one last job and they're going to get out of the business?
Isn't it always?
Who else surprised me? Blake Lively. She did a really nice job in that, and I would not have expected it.
Yeah. Small part as Jeremy Renner's sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're going to spend your $8 or $9, go see a movie on the big screen. Would this be your pick if you didn't catch it last weekend? Do you think would this be worth it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, bang for the buck. I think it delivers entertainment, but it's also a good story.
Oh, but Animal Kingdom opens this weekend also.
Ooh,
yes. So if you haven't had
robbers.
Enough
right.
of the bank robbers, then you can go see Animal Kingdom, a smaller film, not quite as much publicity as
right.
Ben Affleck's film. We do have a scene from that. In this scene, Leckie, is it Leckie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who's played by Guy Pearce, meets with Jane, who's played by Jackie Weaver, in the supermarket.
Hi. I just want you to know I don't bear you any ill will, Mr. Leckie. I really don't. You were just doing your job. I hope you catch the people who did that terrible thing.
If you're as smart as I think you are, you'd know to walk right on by me like we've never seen each other before in our lives. You'd know to feel lucky. You'll come unstuck. I got a feeling about it. I think you do too. I reckon you'd probably carry that feeling around with you every second of the day.
But I don't, Nathan.
All right, so we have some Australian accents and some very interesting Jackie Weaver.
She's great. I mean, I'm going to say the best performance I've seen this year from anybody. She's spectacular.
Awesome.
And in a role that I try to imagine what on paper it suggests, because I mean she created a character that I've really not seen before. And you know, one of the things that's great about that scene is that he mentions something that they really do well in the film, is just this constant pervasive dread. Like, they're just living their lives and it's a regular day, but there's just this ever-present just dread that clearly it's going to have to end at some point. I was very impressed by it.
So it's, a group of bank robbers, but I'm sure it's a very different story.
It's very different because, without giving too much away, they never show a bank getting robbed, which is a totally different approach from the town. And either one works. But it's all about the family, you know, dynamic, and a young boy who the Jackie Weaver there plays this young boy's grandmother. He comes to live with them, and he is a teenage boy, and he's then thrust into this family of criminals, and how she manipulates, and she is just fantastic, just great. All the performances are good, and the movie's great, but Jackie Weaver is just flat out phenomenal.
And Brad, what did you think of Animal Kingdom?
I agree. Jackie Weaver was fantastic. The movie's really good. I prefer the town, and I think that it screened for us the night before. We saw this the next morning, so I got a really good comparison of it. I probably would have liked it more if I hadn't seen the town the night before.
So you were comparing the town.
Yeah, it was tough not to.
Right.
Oh yeah, it would be.
So Animal Kingdom's a movie that was produced a while ago, and it's just kind of making it to Columbus. Is that right?
It's an Australian film.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's really it's the feature film debut for the writer and director, who, from what I understand, worked on the script for years, about 8 years or so, and it's just a great, great debut. Looking for more things from him.
And a great performance by Ben Mendelsohn
as
well.
Yes.
Kind of supporting sort of the quiet psychopath.
Yes, he was great. Very creepy.
If you're a little bit worried about spending your money on Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, then we have two bank robber movies,
right,
which similar. We're all robbing money from people somewhere some respect. So The Town and Animal Kingdom, both out this weekend. You're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jarovich, and we're discussing movies in the theaters this weekend and in the coming weeks this fall. Joining me in the studio is Hope Madden and George Wolfe from Columbus Alive, and also Brad Keefe, oh my goodness, George Wolfe and Hope Madden from the other paper, and then Brad Keefe from Columbus Alive. I apologize to both of your organizations. And we'll be right back after this break. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820 NPR News. Start your day with local updates from the award-winning WOSU News team.
Currently, there's no law on the books that requires Ohio pain management clinics be regulated. That's why it's so easy to open up pill mills.
The legislation that we've put together would regulate the pain clinics and those doctors practicing in the pain clinics.
Hear the latest in local and national news with Morning Edition on WOSU 89.7 FM.
Director Ken Burns returns to his exploration of America's national pastime that he began with his landmark 1994 PBS series Baseball. Now Burns updates the series with the 10th inning. This new two-part, four-hour film tells the tumultuous story of our national pastime up to the present. It celebrates baseball's new golden age and sheds light on one of the game's darkest chapters, the steroid era. The series begins Tuesday, September 28th at 8 on WOSU-TV.
Thank you. Welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. Joining me in the studio for a discussion of the fall movie season is the Other Paper film critics, Hope Madden and George Wolfe, and Columbus Alive web producer and film critic, Brad Keefe. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org to join the conversation. And we do have Frank on the line. Frank, what would you like to talk about?
I'd like to encourage everyone to take advantage of the Bexley Drexel on Wednesdays. They have an afternoon show, and they're really good movies there, even with the subtitles. You don't want to miss. I saw The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, The Girl Who Played with Fire. I saw I Am Love, and I just saw Winter's Bone.
Winter's Bone. What did you think of that?
I thought it was the best thing I've seen since An Education, and I really loved 500 Days of Summer. But it was stark, definitely for adults, but wow, it was stunning. I almost had to pull over driving home just to clear my head a little bit.
Wow. Well, thank you very much for that recommendation, Frank. And I'm not sure, I don't have the Drexel list in front of me. Is Winter's Bone still playing
yes.
there? Okay. Did anyone see Winter's Bone, wanted to add to Frank's comment?
I actually haven't seen it yet. It's been hard to get. It's been hard mm-hmm. to get to. It's had exclusive engagements in specific theaters, so I was pretty excited to see that it's going to be playing at the Drexel, because I will definitely catch it there this weekend.
Yeah, and this is its second run. It actually did have a run earlier. Our other critic, Shelley Mann, loved it, 4 stars.
Yeah.
So I've been looking forward to it, too.
All right, Frank, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. 614-292-8513 or send an email to allsides@wosu.org. You can also visit the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and make a comment there if there's something that you'd like to recommend. Another movie opening this weekend is Legend of the Guardians, a movie geared toward kids, I think. Is it for kids?
It is, yes. It's based on...
it looks a little scary, that's why I say.
It's based on an apparently popular book series that's come along in the last 10 years, aimed at kids, possibly cashing in on the Harry Potter sensation.
That's never been done before. No one makes
no.
a movie out of a book series.
But it's computer animated, directed by Zack Snyder, who's done films such as 300 and Watchmen, so he doesn't have much in his background that indicates he's friendly for kids. The movie's fine for kids. It's very convoluted. It kind of creates a whole sort of Lord of the Rings, Tolkien mythology, tries to squeeze it all into 90 minutes. I found it's a kid's movie. I found it very hard to follow for myself.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Did you maybe need to read the books first?
You may need to be familiar with the books. There are, there's a lot of characters to keep straight. It doesn't help that on the screen, owls all kind of look alike.
Okay. Well, so that's Legend of the Guardians, and that opens this weekend as well.
Yes. Great visuals in 3D, though.
Okay. Yeah, you saw it in 3D?
Yes.
Is everything going to be in 3D?
I think eventually everything's going to be in 3D.
Yep.
What are we thinking? Do we like 3D, or does it make us dizzy?
I know. I think like anything else, sometimes you do. You know, mm-hmm. I still go back, and I won't get off the bandwagon of How to Train Your Dragon. From the summer, which I loved, and I thought the 3D was just fantastic. So, for me, some are hit and miss.
I definitely second How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
Right behind Avatar, the best 3D visuals.
Right.
Yet.
I agree, yeah.
Did you see Toy Story in 3D?
Oh, yeah.
Was that was good in 3D, too.
Well, it was just good.
Yeah,
true. It was just good, no matter how you look at it. 3D, 2D, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite movie of the year.
If you want to pay the extra $4 to $5 to see it in 3D.
Yeah.
Maybe someone needs to go into the business of making like attractive 3D glasses that you can bring with you.
3D Ray-Bans. I'm on it.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. A movie that is opening next weekend that a lot of people are talking about, The Social Network. It has that tagline, you don't get 500 million friends without making a few enemies. What does everyone think of this movie?
Well, I'm excited to see it. I mean, there's a lot of good people involved. Obviously, Facebook is, even though Hope doesn't have a Facebook page, one of the few people left in America, Facebook has permeated the society. So and from what I understand of the beginnings of it, a very interesting story.
So, I think the thing that makes it the most interesting to me is that David Fincher is directing,
right.
And that automatically is intriguing to me. I'm willing to sit through anything he's done. It's fictionalized, though. It's not an accurate, like Mark Zuckerberg, who created Facebook, did not play a part in creating this as his life story. So it's from someone else's point of view.
Sure.
A little bit dramatic, I think.
I assume.
About a few enemies. So, Brad, are you looking forward to seeing The Social Network?
Well, again, I love Fincher. Have really since he started, you know, Seven, going back. Actually, going back even earlier to The Game with Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
It's kind of a great early movie.
But everything except Alien 3. I could have passed on that one.
That's true.
Yeah.
And also interesting in the cast is the actor who's going to be the new Superman. Andrew Garfield.
Spider-Man.
I'm sorry. Thank you. And the actress who's going to be the American version of the girl with the dragon tattoo,
right.
Correct?
Also Fincher, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
And Justin Timberlake.
Right.
You
got to
throw in
Justin Timberlake.
Is he in there just for fun? I thought that was funny. We're going to put Justin Timberlake at Harvard in, you know, early 2000s.
Yeah,
I believe Eisenberg feel worse about his looks.
I feel like Justin Timberlake was probably busy in the 2000s, you know, with NSYNC and things like that.
Interesting choice, although the times when I've seen Justin Timberlake on film, he's been all right.
Particularly in Alpha Dog, he really was very good in the movie Alpha Dog.
And Eisenberg's fantastic. I mean, you know, going back to The Squid and the Whale is still probably one of my favorite movies.
And Zombieland.
And he was fantastic. And actually, you mentioned the actor playing Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield. I saw him earlier this year in a British television trilogy.
Mm-hmm. The Red Rider.
Red Riding.
Yeah, he was great.
Trilogy. And he's really good in that. Has me looking forward to him in this, as well as an upcoming movie called Never Let Me Go.
Mm-hmm.
614-292-8513. That's how you can join the conversation. We do have an email. This emailer says, I enjoyed the characters and the family life and the California flora and fauna atmosphere in The Kids Are All Right that was at the Drexel.
Yeah.
Any chance I might get to see this again for a second run, or maybe it's coming out on DVD soon? Does anyone know?
I don't know whether it's going to come out on DVD. I feel pretty sure that it will probably nab an Oscar nomination here or there, either for acting and potentially with you know, the full set of 10 movies, quite possibly for best film, at which point they may re-release it to theaters.
So that is The Kids Are All Right, which is no longer in theaters, but it was something that was here for a little while. 614-292-8513. And I did want to talk about a movie that opened, I think, maybe 2 weeks ago, and it's still in a couple theaters. It's called I'm Still Here, so it's still here in Columbus. And in this scene, we have Joaquin Phoenix is picking P. Diddy's brain on the music industry.
Now, I have a little studio, you know, like in my garage, got Pro Tools set up.
See, that's the problem. When people try to do things, they don't do it the way they do it for their own industries.
What I want it to be is like a place of true exploration.
Can you do that in acting?
Well, I do. That's the thing, is that as an actor, you're shielded. It's a different, you know, I mean, you know this, Chris.
No, that's not a different thing.
But you
lights, right? Lights.
Yes, how much?
Craft services.
Yeah, it costs a lot.
Trailers.
Yeah.
Makeup, hair, DP.
Good point.
Gaffers.
I get it.
Same thing. Studio, engineer.
I got it.
Me.
I get it.
Do you have any money?
Well, how much you need?
How much you got?
All right, Joaquin Phoenix and his documentary ? Performance, I'm Still Here. Brad, what did you think of it?
Well, documentary ? Is exactly right. Actually, at the point this had screened for critics, it was unclear whether or not this was real life or not. It, you know, going back to Phoenix's infamous Letterman appearance,
yes,
there have been a lot of questions about his career path and the state of his mind. Watching the movie from that perspective, I know a lot of the critics there did not care for it much at all. I came out of it saying, whether that is real or false, it was a fantastic movie and kind of impossible to look away from.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. 2 days later, the director, Casey Affleck, Ben's brother, revealed that the entire thing was a performance, all put on. Since then, I didn't see Phoenix appeared on Letterman Wednesday night, kind of a mea culpa
Yeah.
And acted completely normal.
Pretty much apologized for the previous appearance, yeah.
Because David Letterman, I think, was a little mad that he wasn't in on the joke.
Yeah.
So. And I think a lot of critics are mad that they weren't in on the joke because there's some backlash on it being a hoax.
Which is too bad, I think. You know, I mean, that's unfortunate that if the film is a good film, regardless of which way it goes, then it's kind of too bad that people would feel like, well, you tricked me, so I'm not going to care for it. I know Richard Aides at the other paper, he reviewed it. He said basically the same thing, that whichever it was worth seeing.
And now knowing that it's a performance, I think we need to start talking about Phoenix as an Oscar contender.
It's that convincing.
Okay.
I was a little surprised that Casey Affleck so soon admitted it. It seemed kind of a strange, I don't know if it was a marketing thing. It just seemed like he might let that simmer a little bit longer.
It seems like it might have killed its box office.
That's what I was thinking, because it opened here in Columbus, I believe, on the 17th of September, and now it's not that many days later, and it's only on, like, one or two screens here in Columbus. So it just, like, was here, and now it's gone.
Yeah, I thought they might wait a little longer to spill the beans, I guess.
All right, so, Brad, do you think people should...
I would still check it out while it's still in theaters.
Yes, so you got to go.
Last chance.
You got to go this weekend.
It's a little out there. It's not for everyone. Kind of edgy.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820 NPR News, and I'm Amy Jarovich. With me for our fall movie season preview is Columbus Alive film critic Brad Keefe and the other paper film critics Hope Madden and George Wolfe. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org to join the conversation. A movie that opens next weekend as well, super creepy, Let Me In. And I'm not a fan of movies that are creepy, but but Hope, I think you might be.
I am. This is a remake of a Swedish film that came out a couple of years ago called Let the Right One In, which was just spectacular. It made our top 10 films of the year list. I mean, it was absolutely wonderful. I'm a little concerned. I'm always concerned when Hollywood remakes a really great foreign film. Mm-hmm. But in this case, they put together just a cast that I cannot wait to see. Chloe Moretz from Kick-Ass plays the young vampire, and Cody Smith McPhee from The Road, not that anyone saw The Road, but he was great in it, and he plays the little boy that she befriends, and then Richard Jenkins, the always excellent Richard Jenkins.
Oh, he was the little boy in The Road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, he was great.
So they're the cast. The story is awesome. I'm a little worried. I think it's a pretty weak director for my money, Matt Reeves, who directed Cloverfield, as well as the old David Schwimmer comedy, The Pallbearer. So... I'm not sure how much, you know, credibility he has when it comes to a spooky vampire movie, but we all three of us, I think, get to see it on Monday morning and are pretty geeked.
Monday, you're going to see this really creepy movie on a Monday morning.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, start the week off right.
So it's about a lonely 12-year-old boy, and he befriends this strange new little girl in town, and she is a vampire? Okay. So that's called Let Me In, and it opens on the 1st. Brad, did you want to add anything about it?
Well, you know, it's always a rub with an Americanized remake of a really great foreign film. Kind of a silver lining. A lot of times an audience that won't sit through subtitles.
Yeah.
True.
Gets even a watered-down introduction to it. It's a really great movie. You know, actually, I know our caller Frank mentioned another upcoming Americanized remake with the girl with the dragon tattoo. Also David Fincher.
Right.
In both these cases, see the originals, but if you aren't going to at all, at least check out the remake.
Yeah, and especially in the original, Let the Right One In, it's not just the story, it's the tone and the atmosphere, how it looks. I mean, everything is just perfect.
Oh, it's so uncomfortably cold. It is so, I mean, you just freeze watching that movie. And I have a hard time believing they're going to be able to recreate that kind of, just discomfort and isolation and dreariness.
Yeah. But, if it's still going to be 90 degrees in September, Monday when we see it, I'll be happy for a cold movie.
So that's called Let Me In, and it opens on October 1st. Also opening that same weekend, another creepy movie, Case 39. Renee Zellweger stars as a social worker, and she gets caught up in this mysterious, troubled young girl. And Renee Zellweger, and it's creepy again on the same weekend. I'm getting creeped out.
Yeah. The first thing about that is looked at the director, Christian Alvart, is that how you pronounce it? Directed Pandorum, which was awful. Just awful.
God awful.
So that, you know, yeah, that doesn't help expectations. But the writer was one of the writers who revised The Crazies, which was a real nice, effective remake of an old horror film. So there's kind of one strike against and maybe one plus on that one. Other than that, I don't know a whole lot about it.
I think it's a film that's actually been sitting on a shelf for about a year. So okay. That's not a good sign. It's also the film that kicked off the romance between Renee Zellweger and Bradley Cooper, so I don't know if that will draw anyone or not.
I'd say that's another strike against.
Yeah, possibly.
We'll vote.
Well, Brad, what do you think about Renee Zellweger?
It's been off my radar.
Okay.
Renee Zellweger, horror movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Pass. Right?
Okay, yes. We're going to pass. Pass. Case 39, I watched the trailer of it. She's a social worker with 38 cases, so this girl is case 39. Mm. That's how it got its title. And that opens October 1st as well. And let's move ahead to a movie that opens on October 8th. And there's been a lot of television commercials about it. It just kind of popped up. It seemed like it popped up out of nowhere. It's called the film Buried. So let's listen to a portion of the trailer for Buried where Paul Conroy, played by Ryan Reynolds, explains the situation he finds himself in.
Yes, 911.
I'm from Hastings, Michigan. I'm a driver for CRT. My convoy was ambushed. I'm buried in a coffin in the ground, and I need help. Please send help. I'm begging you.
How did you end up in the coffin, sir?
I was put here.
United States Department, please.
I'm an American citizen. My convoy was attacked, and I'm being held for ransom. I need $5 million, or I'll be left to die here. These threats are real, and will be followed through on.
All right, so that seems very interesting. I'm very intrigued by this. So I said I didn't want to see Let Me In or Case 39 because of the creepiness, but for some reason I'm all about seeing Buried.
I cannot sit through the trailer. the trailer makes me so uncomfortable that I have to either close my eyes or leave the room, and this is really phenomenally uncommon for me. I really, my favorite kind of movies are scary movies.
And movies that Ryan Reynolds is in.
I knew that was coming. But, oh my God, it's so claustrophobic. And from what I've read, nearly the entire film is shot while he inside the coffin with him.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by it, but I don't know that I'm going to go see it.
It is. I agree. It is uncomfortable to think about that situation. But I think I would, intrigued enough to see it, I could probably sit through it. But I don't know. It almost takes on, especially in the movie poster, if that's an indicator, takes on kind of a Hitchcockian, like maybe that's something they're trying to pull off. I doubt they can do that as well, but we'll see.
Brad, what are your thoughts?
Well, Reynolds is very likable. I mean, I don't know if I'm a fan of him for the same reasons Hope is.
I doubt it.
But he's
Is it his abs? Do you care for his abs?
His abs are fine, Hope.
Wait, how are his abs in a box, though? I'm not thinking that's a focus.
I'd have to take his shirt off.
Probably,
you know.
Probably. He's very funny. He's fine as an action star. The buzz on him is he's pretty good. So, you know, he's not the actor I would expect to kind of hold down what's essentially a one-man show.
Right.
But there's a lot of good word on this movie, and I'm pretty curious about it. I don't know why. Every time I see the previews, I'm reminded of the scene in Kill Bill.
Oh,
that's
sure.
What I'm going to hold it up against.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino has already done this pretty well, but
very
he only
well.
Did it for about 10 minutes.
Right.
So I guess how much money this movie makes just shows America's morbid curiosity of what it would be like to be buried alive. That's what I think whenever I see it, because I like watching TV shows like Criminal Minds just because it's like this freaky thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I think actually Hope, that's a good point about our people. That's a very creepy thing to think about, and you're going to go for an hour and a half or so, and someone that's put in that little tiny box could really get to someone.
And there seems to be some mystery as to exactly who put him in this box. I have a feeling that's going to unravel mm-hmm. during the course of it. So, interesting idea.
All right, so that is called Buried, and it stars Ryan Reynolds. It opens October 8th. And you're listening to All Sides Weekend. You can join the conversation by calling 614-292-8513 or emailing us at allsides@wosu.org. What movie are you looking forward to this fall, and what film do you want to ask our critics about? We're going to take a short break. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air,
Pulitzer Prize winning classical music critic Tim Page talks about his memoir, Parallel Play, which describes how his diagnosis of Asperger's syndrome changed his life. And Nick Hornby, the author of High Fidelity, talks about his latest novel, Juliet Naked. Both books are now out in paperback. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
Today at noon on WOSU 820, NPR News. A sustaining membership automatically renews, saving you and WOSU time and money. Give $20, $50, or $100 a month to show your continuous support for WOSU. 1-866-897-9678 or online at WOSU.org.
This week on This American Life, a kid's soccer coach writes an email making fun of parents who take the game too seriously, crying, for instance, that the 6 to 8-year-olds on the team should be on a strict diet of
fish, undercooked red meat, and lots of veggies. And while blood doping and HGH use is frowned upon, there is no testing policy.
Still, okay. He lost his job over that. Kind of Crybabies, this week.
Sunday at 4 on WOSU, NPR News and Classical Music. Support for WOSU comes from the McCoy Center for the Arts. Breast cancer survivor and author of The Middle Place and Lift, Kelly Corrigan, will share her experiences Thursday, September 30th at the McCoy Center for the Arts in New Albany. Details at mccoycenter.org.
This is All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich, and with me for our fall movie season preview is Columbus Alive film critic Brad Keefe, the other paper's Hope Madden, and the other paper's George Wolfe. 614-292-8513. And we have Greg on the line. Greg, what movie would you want to talk about?
There's a really unique opportunity tomorrow night. There's a feature film documentary that's been making the film festival tour, actually won Best Documentary in the Boston Film Festival this year. It's called 10 Mountains, 10 Years. It documents amateur mountain climbers who climbed Mount Kilimanjaro this year, and they're actually on this 10-year effort to climb 10 mountains. At the same time, they're raising money for the Alzheimer's Association and the Parkinson's Society. So they had a film crew with them this year and filmed it and put this together. Anne Hathaway narrates it, and I understand it's a great moving story, not only about mountain climbing, but it also intermixes the work that they're doing and raising money for important charities as well. So, again, it's at the Strand Theater tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in Delaware.
Oh, okay, I was going to say the Strand Theater, okay, in Delaware.
And isn't there a local connection? I thought I read one of the climbers is from this area. Am I right about that?
That's right. Lori Saviors is her name, and she's personally been affected in her family by both Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And so she's been a part of this regular, this 10 Mountains, 10 Years, for a few years now, done a few different climbs, and is featured in the film as well. So, yeah, it was in the newspaper.
Yeah, it did look fascinating, yeah.
Yeah, I did actually send an email to All Sides with the trailer and the information. So if you guys want to take a look or know more about it, it'll be there.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Greg. Maybe we can post a link on our website, wosu.org/allsides. So that's called 10 Mountains, 10 Years, and the Strand Theater in Delaware, he said. You're listening to All Sides Weekend. This is WOSU 820, NPR News. I wanted to talk about a movie that comes out later in October, October 22nd. It's called The Company Men. And in this scene from the trailer, we're going to listen to just a short part of the trailer. It kind of explains what the movie's about.
What's going on?
The company's consolidating divisions. Difficult decisions had to be made in areas where redundancies surfaced.
You're firing me?
3,000 jobs.
They were good people, Jim.
Hell, it's a business, not a charity.
I've always told you what I thought, right or wrong, and this is wrong.
Wait for a meeting.
Got one kid in college, another one going in the fall.
I won't go back to a factory floor. I'll take an AK-47 to this place first.
Hi, Sally. Thanks for not returning any of my phone calls. If you do return my call, I would love to know why you fired me without any notice.
You cowardly witch.
See, when the wise you never calls you back.
Feels good, though.
And more Ben Affleck. There we go. He's back again.
Yeah.
So what are we thinking about The Company Men? It's very timely, you know, in these economic times, and it's about people losing their jobs. Whenever they had worked all their life, they have these very prestigious, high-paying jobs, and now they're back at the bottom.
The first thing it makes me think of is the one with George Clooney,
Up in the Air.
It sounds like it's taking the perspective of the people that were affected more than, you know, Up in the Air took the approach of the person who was doing the downsizing. So and certainly some big names in the cast with Ben Affleck, Tommy Lee Jones, Kevin Costner in there as well. So that draws interest.
Maria Bello. I always like to see Maria Bello in anything.
Brad, what are you thinking about the company?
Off the bat, it's going to be hard for me not to compare it to Up in the Air.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was one of my favorite movies of last year. So the bar is kind of high for it.
Yep.
Well, and I think it follows three men who are trying to survive this corporate downsizing. Ben Affleck's one of the men. I'm not sure who the other two are because I just read the cast list and there were so many names in there. I wasn't sure who was who exactly. Mm-hmm. But and so it focuses on their family life and also trying to get back to work. And I know that Ben Affleck's character ends up working at a construction site, which is probably very different than his.
And then eventually robbing banks.
Exactly.
Oh, going back to the town. Yes. Ben Affleck is. And then he starts directing movies. I don't know where that came from. So The Company Men is October 22nd. And you can call 614-292-8513 if you'd like to discuss any movies coming out for the fall. 614-292-8513. Another movie that is opening on October 8th, along with Buried, is called Secretariot. Does anyone know anything about that?
Yeah, we saw it last night.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I did not, so I'll let them lead this discussion.
All right. Hope.
I don't think either one of us was particularly impressed by it. It's, as I was leaving, I saw a guy who was there with probably maybe 7 or 8 year old girl, and I thought to myself, oh, it's a perfectly nice movie to take, you know, your 7 or 8 year old kid to. I mean, it's monumentally wholesome. But it's
pretty horses.
Yeah. Everyone loves horses.
That's right. But in a story of a woman who stuck to her guns and everything. And really, I mean, it's actually a fascinating story. But it's just done in the most saccharine and obvious and cliched way.
Yeah, with the dialogue is people giving these inspirational speeches that people don't talk like that. You know, not like all throughout the day. You know, and it's just very formula, stick right to it, exactly what Hope said. And, nothing harmful about it, you know. It's, again, a nice story. We all know anyone that's ever heard of Secretariat knows how it turns out.
Right.
So it's a nice story, but, pretty just straight by the numbers formula.
The inclusion of John Malkovich is always curious to me.
You know, he gives it a good try. I mean, he's really there mostly for comic relief. And there are a couple of, he's a curmudgeon in these ridiculous clothes, and he gets a couple of good lines off, but... You know, he also has some really incredibly fake, you're my inspiration, intimate moments with that are just cringeworthy, really. And I think the thing that bothered me the most was Nelson Ellis, who plays Lafayette on True Blood on HBO, stuck in the incredibly cartoonishly cliched, black horse trainer role, just like, all ma'am and gospel music when he washes the horse, and just I was sorry to see him take that role. I'm sorry that there are still roles like that to be taken. It was just disappointing.
So if you want to go see a movie the weekend of October 8th and you don't want to see Ryan Reynolds get buried in a box, then maybe you want to give Secretariat a try if you like horses. And we have Scott on the line. Scott, what movie do you want to talk about?
Hi, I just wanted to say there are local filmmakers out there, and they're making features. And this weekend at the Grandview Theater is a film called Minus One. It's a feature about four soldiers getting ready to go off to Iraq. And it was shot entirely in Columbus, and it's won some awards at some various film festivals. It's at the Grandview Friday and Saturday. It's also screening along with a very long short film called The Funny Man, starring our local radio personality, Dino Tripodis, who is also in the indie film scene. So, but Minus One's a solid little drama that I highly recommend, and again, it was shot and produced locally.
Hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much for that recommendation, Scott. So Minus One showing at the Grandview Theater, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we have a really robust local filmmaker population, and if you're listening out there, local filmmakers, why don't you get your movies in front of us critics? We'd love to see them.
That's
right.
Absolutely true.
And we have Tom on the line. Tom wants to jump ahead to a little bit later in the fall movie season. Tom, what do you want to ask about?
Yeah, I was just curious to know what your guys' view was on the whole Harry Potter next two movies that are coming out, because I've seen all of them that came out so far, and all of them leading up to the last one have had that whole kind of, you know, magical theme going on, you know, this whole new world type thing going on, and the last movie I think kind of strayed a bit towards like the mysterious side, you know, like the, you know, getting towards the plot. And I'm just curious to know how they're going to play out the next two movies, because, you know, I think they might actually, I personally think they might lose some of the younger crowds, because, you know, I think it might be getting a little bit too mysterious and straying too far from the magical side.
So this is Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. So mm-hmm. we're ending the franchise, but this is Part 1, and then Part 2 comes out next year. Hope, do you have any ideas?
It seems to me that the books themselves, as Harry ages, I mean, in each of the books, he's a year older than he was in the previous book. And I always felt that the author did a phenomenal job of aging the storyline along with the protagonists. I mean, what he goes through is a little darker. It's a little scarier. It almost assumes, I think, that the audience is aging with him. And I think it's only necessary that at this point he's like, I don't know, 18 years old. And I mean, there's a lot, you know, he's got to take on the Dark Lord. And I think I'm not a huge fan of the series of films, to tell you the truth. But I think that it's probably necessary because the books age, the books get darker, that the films probably have to as well.
Brad, are you a fan of the series?
Well, yeah, actually, I kind of, in that sense, I mentioned earlier, if you aren't going to watch a foreign remake, at least get the American version. If you aren't going to read these books, at least watch the movies. Mm-hmm. With the Harry Potter, the final two movies, I really applaud the decision to split the final book into two parts. I know there's a, you could look at it from the perspective, they're just trying to get more money out of people.
Yeah, that was my first thought on it, too.
But the fact is, as those books got longer, you know, these final books that were, they're near 1,000 pages, and to dilute all that down to a 2.5 hour movie really does a disservice to the fans.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tom. And I'm sure that you'll see Harry Potter in November, no matter what it looks like, right?
Exactly.
There
yeah.
you go. Thank
all
you very
right,
much.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Another film I wanted to talk about that comes out. Well, I'm not exactly sure. Oh, I think it comes out in October 8th. It's kind of a funny story, and we have a clip of that. In this scene, Bobby, who is played by Zach Galifianakis, talks with Craig, who is played by Keir Gilchrist, and they're waiting in an ER waiting room.
Why are you in an ER at 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning?
Well, I guess there's just been a lot going on in my mind lately.
Go ahead.
See, there's this girl in this summer school application that I'm really nervous about.
Summer school?
Yeah, it's like this super prestigious kind of...
Why would you want to be in school in the summer? You should be on Coney Island bird dogging chicks.
Are you a doctor?
And that's a scene from It's Kind of a Funny Story, where a stressed out 16-year-old checks himself into a psychiatric ward. Is it by accident, or is it on purpose that he checks himself in?
It's a little bit of both, really. I don't think he knows what he's in for. When mm-hmm. he definitely has some issues that he wants addressed, but I don't think he knows what he's in for when he goes.
No, for the most part, he thinks they're going to give him a prescription and send him home. And
right.
then not only do they admit him, but the juvenile ward is under construction, and so he's admitted into the adult ward, and he has to stay there for, I forget how long.
5 days.
5 days, till they reevaluate him and find out whether or not he's well enough to go home.
And Zach Galifianakis' character is
one of the adult patients.
Okay.
Yeah. In that scene you just showed, I think he's not really passing himself off as a doctor, but the young man thinks he's a doctor when he's talking to him. But we got to see it. Hope and I saw it in Toronto at the film festival. We liked it a lot. It's done by a pair of filmmakers, Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck, who did Sugar and who did Half Nelson. Great movies. This is a lot different in tone. It's funny. And it's a lot lighter of a tone, but we both enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. We're both huge fans of, I assume Brad as well, Half Nelson and Sugar. They're both excellent films, and mm-hmm. but very, very authenticity-driven, no big names, you know, dramas, independent dramas. This is a broad, as the director actually said, a very John Hughes-style comedy aimed at teenagers, told from the perspective of teenagers. It's still definitely an independent film. It's smarter than your average 1985 teenage, you know, slapstick comedy. But it is a very different kind of film for them, and I think they're expecting a much broader audience. And I thought Zach Galifianakis in particular was very impressive. He still plays a goofball, you know, and he does it very well. But you know, you get to, there's a lot more depth to it. And
yeah, I heard he's not quite as goofy. It's not like a Hangover-esque
right.
type character.
Right. Yeah, it's good.
Brad, I know that you are looking forward to this movie. What do you think about?
This was on my list of the most anticipated movies of the fall going into it, and I asked my friend Melissa Starker of the Gateway Film Center. She went to Toronto as well, and I asked her opinion of it, and she told me John Hughes meets One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is pretty much exactly what I was hoping from it. I've been a fan of Galifianakis back to his stand-up days. In fact, I was a little disappointed with him in The Hangover because I know he can be a lot funnier than he was in that movie. So I'm completely looking forward to this. It's one of my most anticipated of the coming months.
Is he as funny as he's been in other movies? Or like Dinner for Schmucks, yeah.
No, it's a different kind of role. It certainly has comedic edges to it, but, you know, he's in a psych ward, so he's got a dark side to him as well, and it has a chance to stretch out his dramatic, you know, it's not a full dramatic role, but it shows that I think he's maybe capable of that in the future.
Now, this is an indie film, or a smaller film,
it
right?
Is.
So do we know when it opens here in Columbus? Because I had on my list that it opened October 8th, but that could be national. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, as far as I know, October 8th is the LA New York opening,
which means it won't be
it
here.
Out,
right.
It's hard to know how soon it'll be here.
All right, so you're going to have to stay tuned to either the other paper or Columbus Alive or just...
Well, no, actually, come to think of it, it screens... I think it'll be here in 2 weeks.
It screens, what, next week?
Mm-hmm.
So...
All right. Well, we'll see. It's called It's Kind of a Funny Story, and it will be in Columbus at some point. You know, those indie movies, they are sometimes hit or miss of when they get to be here in Columbus.
Yeah, so. I would expect it here not this coming weekend, not the following weekend, but the next.
All right. We have just a couple of minutes left, so I want to take some time for each of our critics to just mention one movie we didn't get to that they think that is worth our audience's time to see. Who would like to go first? I'm going to put somebody on the spot.
Well,
George, what do you want people to see?
I guess another one we saw, I have no idea when it might be in Columbus, if this counts, but the one we like the most in Toronto is called The King's Speech. Colin Firth plays King George VI, who had a speech problem, and Jeffrey Rush plays his unorthodox speech therapist to try to get him through it as he's on the verge of becoming king. And it's just a great, very enjoyable, a joy to watch these two actors work together. No idea when it's coming here. If it's coming here, if it does, check it out.
All right. Hope, is there a movie that you would like to recommend?
I'm just going to go ahead and say it, Amy. I'm looking forward to Paranormal Activity
2. Oh, no.
Wow.
I know, but I admit these things aloud.
Halloween's coming.
I know. My credibility is strained. I understand that, but I'm really looking forward to it. I liked the first one, and, you know, the trailer looks creepy, and, you know, yeah, I'm in the mood for it. It's almost Halloween. I would like to see it.
That opens October 22nd. Paranormal Activity 2, October 22nd. Brad, what movie would you like to...
Well, I will recommend a movie that's not new, but that not nearly enough people have seen. Go to one of the last remaining theaters in town, and please go see Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, yeah.
I like that, too. Yes.
Yeah. And just in brief 10 seconds, why?
It's just visually, I don't know, no movie made me happier this year. Not even close.
But it didn't make very much...
It was a disappointment.
It kind of surprised me, too. Yeah. I thought it would do better.
I've seen it 3 times, so I did my part.
Wow, okay. So Scott Pilgrim versus the World still in theaters somewhere around here, right?
Yes, it's still
in
several
house,
theaters.
Apparently.
And in Brad's house.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have. I'm Amy Jurevich, and you've been listening to All Sides Weekend. Thank you to Hope Madden with The Other Paper. Thanks.
Sure.
And thank you to George Wolfe with The Other Paper.
Thank you.
And thank you to Brad Keefe with Columbus Alive.
Good to be here.
And also thank you to Sal Pishonary at the controls. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus. And streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820, NPR News.